Yesterday might have been one of those days that not a lot of people are going to forget. Very, very busy day up on the hill. Quite a few things we have to get into, from football, from basketball, rumors, and so much more. Tyler, Will, starting lineup for your Tuesday begins now. TSL.
From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Media Knoxville. This show belongs to you at 656-9900. 656-9900. The sports you need before sunrise is on the air. You're inside the starting lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Well, lots to get to, so we might as well hit the ground running, shall we? Good morning, good morning. Tuesday, November the 24th. Tyler Ivins and Will West at 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Mike Keith joining the program coming up at 8:15. Titans, the runoff victory against Baltimore. We'll talk about how the Titans have now better positioned themselves for the AFC playoff run. Not only that, but coming up at 7:45 this morning, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN is going to be joining the program. Why? Well, because Adam's got some things he'd like to talk about in regards to a certain coach that is coaching on the FBS level or the FCS level. Guys, I'm just going to flat out tell you right now, Liberty, FBS level, I know they are. It's taken me a while to kind of remember that Liberty had to make the upgrade over the last couple of years. And Hugh Freeze is a very, very popular name. So for those of you out there wanting to do the research, FBS level, I know this because they just got tripped up by North Carolina State over the weekend. And a game that was supposed to be a 85-90-point shootout, and they totaled 29 points. Gosh, I'm a degenerate, and I need to do better with myself. Will, good morning to you. Let's get started. It's another postponement for the University of Tennessee. This is now going to be their third open date of the year. And now the confusion is now beginning, because if you want to have to talk about reshuffling the deck when it comes to the SEC schedule, oh boy, here we go. Yesterday, announcement came down, one of which where the SEC conference did not do a very good job of actually explaining it to a lot of people. I remember having to read the statement a couple of times before I understood. But the November 28th games, they have seen quite a few postponements. The Arkansas-Missouri football game is being postponed and rescheduled, as well as Tennessee-Vanderbilt being postponed. Why is that? Because they're trying to get in the Vanderbilt-Missouri game that was earlier postponed on October the 17th, and trying to get that game in this weekend, which now that leaves essentially Arkansas and Tennessee kind of standing with their hands in the air. Volunteers now trying to shoot for one of the dates of either December the 12th or 19th to get that game in, and then find out how they can also fit in the Texas A&M game. Are you confused? You should be. I don't know how they're really going to make this happen, and I kind of was leaning in the same direction you were on Twitter yesterday, at WillWestWNML. There has to be something more to this, right? You're not just postponing, shuffling, and moving games for two teams to try to then hurt two other teams, but perhaps maybe, Will, those other two teams have flexibility. Good morning.
Yeah, well, good morning. That was bizarre. That was just bizarre that, one, the thought process behind that of, well, we're going to play Vanderbilt against Missouri because we want to, you know, we want to make sure Missouri gets another game. They've already had to miss two, and so this would allow us to make up one of those games, and we'll push Tennessee versus Vanderbilt to late in the season. Man, that's weird to me. It's really, really weird because it's not as if, look, I mean, I hate to say it, but it's not like Missouri's making a ton of money. You're losing money on your football games right now. So it's not like they're making a ton of money. It's not like it's going to help or hurt the TV window situation. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to me why you would make that move. We're also in a COVID situation right now with games getting canceled left and right. And you would think that, man, you are tempting fate if you're saying, well, we'll be able to make these games up in another month when we're, or, you know, 3 weeks from now when we're seeing games canceled all the time. It doesn't make any sense to me. And I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of people around college football who aren't buying that this is why they're doing this with Tennessee. I kind of, part on the surface, the first time I read that, I was like, there is no chance this is actually it, right? Is there an issue with Tennessee that I want to talk about it, or is there a health department concern with playing Tennessee, or health department concern with Vanderbilt? I don't know what's going on here. There are a lot of people that think that we're not being told everything about what's going on with Missouri against Vanderbilt, but playing this weekend versus Tennessee and Vanderbilt getting postponed or canceled. So look, it's weird. I don't know why it is. If on the surface, if things are really are what they appear to be on the surface, which is we needed to make sure Missouri got a game. They could play Vandy this weekend. We think Tennessee will be all right later in the year. Okay. If that ends up being the case, then that was really the way that you went about it, SEC. Whatever, man. But it's weird to me. I think it's a bad decision. I think that they are tempting fate by pushing more and more games down the line and kicking the can down the road. Again, they should have worked in multiple bye weeks during the season, and this we wouldn't be in this situation. If I'm smart enough to have seen that coming, and you guys are smart enough to have seen that coming, why didn't the SEC see that coming? But whatever. This is what it's going to be. So Tennessee played – when was the bye week right now?
Halloween.
Yeah, so it was Halloween. So they played Halloween. They were off a week. They play a game. They're off.
They played
Bama
on the 24th. They're off a week. That Saturday they were off.
Okay, so they were.
They came back. They came back. That was when they played Arkansas. Open date because they rescheduled a Texas A&M. That's then when they played another game. Now they have another open date. So literally, Will, they've gone. A B game
two,
by
two
week,
games,
six
yeah,
weeks.
2 games in 5 weeks is what we're looking at, right? For Tennessee here.
As of right now, because then it will turn into 3 and 6, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So goodness gracious. But whatever. This is where we're at. If this is the way that the SEC wants to do it. I think it's like if you just went to someone and you found the stupidest person you know and you say, how would you run this? This is what they would tell you to do. So I think it's a bad decision. It doesn't mean it's going to work out to be the wrong decision at the end of the day. Or let's be honest, maybe it's not the worst wrong decision because in COVID right now, it seems like we're doing a whole lot of that of there aren't good decisions that can be made. So let's just choose the least wrong decision. Maybe that's what the SEC's doing here right now. I would just say, hey, Missouri, it's on you to figure it out. If I was Tennessee, I would have raised utter heck about having to have this happen. If this really is the case that I'm going to play two games in 5 weeks, kick rocks, Missouri can figure it out. I also think you're tempting fate that you're actually going to get these games in December like this. So whatever, it's bizarre, but this is a bizarre year, I guess.
Okay, advantages, and maybe it doesn't matter. Tennessee's got 3 games left on their schedule, and they have to travel a total of 3 hours to play 3 games because 2 are at home.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. There, and it's also another week for you to get Harrison Bailey ready if he needs to get it. I mean, I think if you're a team like Tennessee, God bless you, think if you just took a loss like you did against Auburn, you'd want to get back out there and play. But this does allow you to get another quarterback not named Jared Garantano ready for the upcoming last stretch of games.
This is not me creating excuses. It's not. This is me simply asking questions and playing devil's advocate here. How much of Tennessee's struggles could, and maybe the answer is I don't know, how much of Tennessee's struggles could be, well, look, you can't really get into a groove. You can't really start getting things kind of not laid out and put together when you're on a week, off a week, on a week, off a week. It's like Tennessee can't find any consistency. Is this me stretching? Is this me here grabbing straws or just trying to find anything here? Because there are a lot of things I watched in the second half from Tennessee I can't really explain.
I think that it's Tennessee is struggling, and the other thing is also true. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And it's hard to get into a rhythm when you're in the situation that Tennessee's in right now. Had they not already lost to Kentucky the way that they did, had they not already had the Arkansas loss, I would say, yeah, that's plausible. But I do think, to me now, having with those losses in hand, I would say maybe both are just true right now. Tennessee's not very good at struggling, and there are also issues with the schedule not allowing Tennessee to get into any rhythm whatsoever.
So Tennessee-Vanderbilt postponed for this weekend, as well as a second game that's postponed in the SEC this weekend as well between Missouri and Arkansas. Question is now, how many more postponements? And the one thing a lot of people didn't want to do, stretch the season December as far as it has, well, it's done just that. You're talking about a game that would likely go down less than a week before Christmas Day. A lot more to get into today before 9 a.m. this morning, including Rick Barnes testing positive for COVID and the Tennessee basketball program having to shut things down at least for a couple of days. The Volunteer Classic now is in jeopardy. And what do you do if you're the University of Tennessee of trying to fill out that schedule and play catch-up? We'll talk about COVID-19 striking the campus. Also, Hugh Freeze news and a lot more. It's all before 9 a.m. this morning here on your flagship station for the University of Tennessee, 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
The Tennessee-Vanderbilt football game scheduled for this Saturday in Nashville has been postponed as the SEC shuffled the deck amid COVID issues at Arkansas. The Razorbacks-Missouri game has been postponed, causing the league to reschedule Missouri-Vanderbilt game this Saturday. There's been no makeup date announced for the Vols and Commodores. The Tennessee football will be off this weekend. The Tennessee men's basketball team has canceled Wednesday and Friday's Charlotte and VCU games this week as multiple positive COVID-19 tests have surfaced in the program, including a positive test from head coach Rick Barnes. The Vols have paused all team-related activities at the moment. At this time, Tennessee's participation in next week's Jimmy V Classic has not been ruled out. The Lady Vols have also canceled their season opening bout with Florida A&M Friday afternoon, as Florida A&M is opting to sit out the upcoming season due to COVID-19 concerns. Lady Vols are still slated to play Western Kentucky at TBA Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Monday Night Football, Jared Goff outdueled Tom Brady as the Rams outlasted the Bucks 27-24. Goff finished the contest with 3 passing touchdowns in the win. And around the NBA, DeMarcus Cousins has agreed on a 1-year deal to join the Houston Rockets. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 612, Pete Michaels Traffic. That's coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Hey.
He once bought Wayne Gretzky a drink. We'll let him tell the story. Tyler Ivins and the starting lineup on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Starting lineup 99.1, the Sports Animal, Will West, Eric Kane. Bizarre day on UT and UT Sports yesterday over on the Hill. We got the the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game has been postponed so the Missouri can play Vanderbilt, because that makes sense. Then we also got news that Rick Barnes and multiple members of the basketball program have tested positive for COVID as well. The Volunteer Classic was supposed to go down starting tomorrow, and now it has been canceled after discussions with the Knox County Health Department. I think there's also the other teams. The health department's advising the other teams, probably looked at it and said, there's no shot you're going in there. So if you want to keep this going, and really the overall, you know, overarching point on the day was, you have the Tennessee-Vanderbilt game postponed so that Missouri can play Vanderbilt. You have Rick Barnes testing positive for COVID, multiple members of the basketball program testing positive for COVID, and then the Lady Vols' first opponent that was coming up this week, Florida A&M, they decided to opt out of the season, just to do it, you know, the week of the first game coming up. So it was a really, really, really weird day for Tennessee basketball. Now it looks like you'll actually start playing on December 12th. Is that the first day, Kaner?
Yes.
Yeah, so it would be Cincinnati December 12th. That would be the first game that the Tennessee basketball would play, with the Volunteer Classic being canceled at Thompson Bowling Arena this weekend. It's amazing. Look, if you're a Tennessee fan and you're thinking, we are the most snake bit program, or this is the weirdest thing that could ever happen, or all these weird things happen to Tennessee, you're right. And
on one day, much the less, on one day.
Yes. and here's the thing. Those of us that have been doing the cover day in, day out, none of us are shocked by this. Tennessee fans that pay attention closely for years, you're not shocked by this, but it's incredible for me to see the national media just kind of say, I don't know what is going on at the University of Tennessee or in East Tennessee, that they have so many weird things happen to them, but welcome to a weird day in East Tennessee. And you know, it's kind of, it happens every year where you just have some really, really bizarre day. And yesterday was maybe the most bizarre of them all, Kaner.
Yeah, it really was, and it all happened so fast in terms of the hoops news, because you got the report, you know, Tennessee released a statement saying there's been multiple positive COVID-19 tests that surfaced, including head coach Rick Barnes, and so, you know, you put out that release saying that the status of the games this week are undecided, we'll let us know on Tuesday, and then less than an hour later they come out and say, okay, so the games have been canceled for this week, and you say that's expected. Within the hour after that, you find out the Lady Vols' first opponent, Florida A&M, has decided to sit out of the season. So their game has been canceled for Friday night, but still on track to play Saturday. And then a couple hours go by, and then you get news from the SEC putting out the most confusing release ever known to man about reshuffling the deck on what's to be had on Saturday. And, you know, because of that, the result is Tennessee and Vanderbilt, it's not going to happen. It's one of those things to where you kind of have to, you know, keep tabs. I kept telling myself over and over last night what exactly was happening and why it was happening, just so I could memorize it, because it was so much going on. But a weird day for sure. You know, first and foremost, you know, thoughts and prayers to Rick Barnes and all the players that have come down with this virus. You hope that it's just in and out, and you can get on with your daily business. Because I think a lot of it nowadays is you see player come down with it, you see player go on the COVID-19 reserve list in the NFL, and you don't think much of it anymore. And that's good, because for the most part, you can fight this virus, and it's no big deal. But still, it is a virus, and it still sadly has taken some lives, and so you want to keep that in your the top of your brain, going out through this process. But it's a weird day yesterday, and you hope that this kind of passes and you can get back on track next week. But certainly one of the weirder days on the beat yesterday, for sure.
I love how all of us are sitting over here, to Will's point, and you're just like, yeah, none of this is surprising to me. And everybody else is just like, goodness, they must be pulling their hair out in Knoxville with not knowing what to do with themselves. Because when something happens, it should not be to a level of surprise that I think a lot of people outside of East Tennessee or the state of Tennessee are kind of reacting to right now.
Yeah, like, no, we're all numb down here, right? At this point, there's nothing. What can you do to us right now?
I took four text messages from three different states yesterday of people who are either friends or colleagues I've come across, and they've been like, what are you guys doing down there in Knoxville? Well, it is a pandemic, A. And B, if you have been a part of this at any point in time in your life, you would know that this is not surprising whatsoever. Okay, well, carry on, man. Happy Thanksgiving.
Does this have an effect on the season as a whole, Tennessee having to cancel the Volunteer Classic, so you're losing two games there?
I think no. I will tell you right now, as somebody who's already done my digging on Cincinnati, you don't really want to – you would hope that you wouldn't have to start fresh against the Cincinnati team right out of the gate. Now, granted, is this – like the Cincinnati teams Tennessee's faced the last couple of seasons? No. They're definitely now starting to go through that kind of youth recycle. But I can tell you right now that John Brandon would love to make Tennessee's season miserable out of the gate by beating them. If I'm the Vols, what I would do is I would try to find a way to see if you can catch up with Cincinnati down the road, which they'll probably not be happy about, because I'm sure they're going to win as many games as possible, especially some to the level as a top 12, top 14 ranked team like Tennessee. But you also have a lot of programs that are within driving distance. I mean, do you go to the Belt? Do you go over to the Carolinas? Which way do you go to try to find somebody like a Charlotte who can come over? Can you go get a Western up in Kentucky? Can you see if Murray State, again, another program Tennessee's played recently with ties, their head coach is from East Tennessee, so there are ties, and Rick Barnes clearly has a lot of names in the Rolodex where if they can make it happen, I'm sure that they can get these games rescheduled. It's just the caliber opponent you're going to play and how quickly can you do it, especially with a pandemic on your hands and trying to make sure the players get to and from the arena safely and back to their campuses.
Yeah, it looks like this. Look, it's a long time between the Volunteer Classic and when you would play Cincinnati. And again, you're right. I mean, Kenyon Martin didn't walk through that door. Right. Nick Van Exel's now walking through that door for Cincinnati. But there's you play on the 12th. That gives you about 2.5 weeks, which is probably the amount of time you need to get everybody healthy and be able to go out there and get everybody cleared, contact tracing, get everybody ready to play. So it the schedule works out kind of perfectly. That would be the day, I think, in my mind. And maybe you try to find another game somewhere before you start the SEC slate. But it was one of those days that we have around here in East Tennessee that I don't think any other market has. Maybe New York has that, but I don't think any other market has the theater of the bizarre the way that we have it in East Tennessee when it comes to college sports.
I would give you that. And just what I meant by the Cincinnati roster, the last couple of years, like when they've taken on this Bearcats team, they've had the Cumberland brothers who are very, very good basketball players, and they had Chris Vogt. They had just one or two role players that were really good with Cumberland, who was the CUSA player of the year. I know once. He might have been twice. It just Cincinnati was that team that was a thorn in everybody's side. So, this is the point in time where Cincinnati is going through that reset, and again, you would just like to be able to take on Brandon's team with a little bit more minutes under your belt. To your point about kind of the what's next, how does this episode of the Bizarro Twilight Zone end for the University of Tennessee? Shoulder shrug, okay? I can't tell you. But watching just one thing after another just come down yesterday, and I'll give credit where credit is due. Before this thing started breaking yesterday about Rick Barnes, I got a text message from the first guy at about 11 a.m. I just referenced I talked to three or four guys out of the state, and one guy covers college basketball for Fox Sports, and he texted me flat out and said, have you heard anything about Rick Barnes and possibly testing positive for COVID? And I said, no, but if you had, it wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. Tennessee's been pretty lucky, especially from the football side of things. Earlier in the offseason, the basketball program came down with one or two cases during the summer. Is there anything I should be heads up on? He goes, it's probably nothing, because the guy who told me he's usually not, he's 50-50 with when he hits. But don't be surprised if something comes down or just be on the lookout. I'll be dang if not 4 hours later they were releasing an official statement and Rick Barnes had tested positive. So I just, you know, you never want to be one of that. Look, no, I don't, I'm not Jimmy. I don't break news. You're nobody here. It's just you would hope that that wasn't the case. And then now that it has been deemed positive, both the rumor and now the test is positive for Rick, you hope that perhaps maybe he's asymptomatic, or you hope that perhaps this is something that can quickly blow through and everybody is back to 100% as quickly as possible. You know, everybody reacts to it. You know, thankfully for Rick Barnes at his age, I mean, the guy's in incredible shape for his age. So hopefully this is something that if there are any kind of effects whatsoever, that it just, you know, it does what it needs to do and then it moves on. And then hopefully we're getting closer and closer to a vaccine as well. So fingers crossed on that standpoint. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Still a lot more for us to get into today as well. And Hugh Freeze. Here we are, November the 24th, and the Hugh Freeze news kind of took over last week after the dismissal of Will Muschamp, and the question was going to be Hugh Freeze, Liberty, 4 hours south of Columbia. Hugh Freeze now says that he's not entertaining any more offers, but now all of a sudden the Tennessee name and the Tennessee program is starting to come up and is now being kind of entwined together with Hugh Freeze rumors. We'll get to the latest on that coming up on the other side. Love it or leave it and so much more here. Hour number one of the starting lineup. Good morning. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Today was making a few statements, making a few comments that talking to his sources and people that he knows close to the SEC and the ongoing situation with Hugh Freeze, is that Hugh Freeze, who just after a couple of days ago mentioned that the South Carolina job perhaps is not in his future, that he's focusing on growing the program in Liberty in the state of Virginia, that perhaps maybe that's just not the case, that perhaps maybe he would rather land in a position like perhaps an opening in Knoxville if things don't prove vastly and quickly with the University of Tennessee than maybe landing in Columbia, South Carolina. This was reported by Adam yesterday, and when giving him a call yesterday and asked him if he'd like to join us, he said 7:45, and I'm there, Ivans. So Adam's going to be joining us today, and really that leads to the conversation that we're about to have. Jeremy Pruitt now, his football program, they're 2-5. They're losers of 5 in a row after starting 2-0. And now Tennessee's got an extra week due to the postponement with Vanderbilt to get ready for Florida on December the 5th. There's an opportunity Tennessee could finish 5-5 on the year, 2-8. 3-7 realistically, but during a COVID year where a lot of people we were led to believe we're not going to be adding more red to the bottom line with the funds already lost to COVID in the pandemic, never say never. It's obviously that Philip Fulmer is going to have a lot of questions answered. He's going to have to make a lot of decisions. And how realistic is it that perhaps maybe after only 3 years here in Knoxville, and it would be kind of difficult at this time for Jeremy Pruitt to finish the season over 500. That would likely have to include wins over Florida and Texas A&M, and not to mention over 500 for his career at the University of Tennessee, what they would do during this offseason buyouts, and then what it would take to get Hugh Freeze in-house as well. But you just mentioned that one time. Adam Rittenberg made a lot of Tennessee fans happy yesterday because there's quite a few people out there who are ready for a coaching change and they believe that Hugh Freeze can bring Tennessee back to a certain level that, well, say what it is, I still have a bad taste in my mouth about what Hugh Freeze did at Ole Miss. There was a lot of winning, but as we both know, Will, that winning obviously came at a certain price, and it was a price where there were phone calls made from a university-issued cell phone to escort services multiple times. Is that something that perhaps Tennessee wants to cloud over at Neyland Stadium? I asked you that this morning.
Yeah, it's, so there's that. There's the, you know, the cheating and then trying to sell to the media that it happened under Houston Nutt, or, you know, but frankly, successfully selling to some local media members. The Houston Nutt was the one that did all of it and trying to pin it on at him instead of owning it himself. So there are those things that I've wondered about. How welcome would he be back in the SEC? It doesn't seem like Greg Sankey of the SEC would get in the way of this. So here's where you're at. You're in a Kirby Smart situation where Georgia was going to keep rolling with Mark Richt. They wanted Kirby Smart. They thought that, hey, let's give Richt one more year before we make a move. And then South Carolina was going to hire Kirby Smart, and Georgia was forced to. If you want Kirby, you're going to have to make a move. And so Georgia hires Kirby and fires Mark Richt, hires Kirby, and it's gone pretty well for them ever since, right? That's the situation that Tennessee's in right now with Hugh Freeze. If you want, now Kirby didn't have the baggage that Hugh Freeze has. He also wasn't as proven as Hugh Freeze was. Freeze would probably win here, let's be honest, right? That's I think that we would all agree on that. Now, would Tennessee want him? That's another question. And what would it look like if he came here? Can you financially afford it? Would it be unfair to Jeremy Pruitt? It brings up a bajillion questions that happen here around Tennessee and Hugh Freeze. I do think, though, that part of this is Hugh Freeze would like to have the Tennessee job, and if he can leak some things out there, or his agent or manager on his behalf. And actually, Adam says he spoke to multiple industry sources, so it probably wasn't just one, but that Hugh Freeze probably wants the Tennessee job, and this is his way of throwing out a trial balloon saying, hey, if you want me, come get me, or I'm going to South Carolina. If Hugh Freeze ends up going to South Carolina and winning big there, it's gonna sting even more for Tennessee fans, right? So that's am I reading all of this the right way? Is this kind of, am I wrong to look
how
at this?
How does this usually play out, Will? Everything you just said, how does this usually play out? Go to get the highest bidder, see if you can get somebody else that can bump up the price, knowing that the risk-reward is completely out of your hands if you don't put a bid in, because if they do end up at South Carolina now, this is example being Hugh Freeze, now you look at the SEC East, and it's no longer just, dang it, every year Tennessee's got to run into Kirby. It's, dang it, Dan Mullen, now dang it, Hugh Freeze. If Tennessee was to let Hugh Freeze, or whatever it is, if Hugh Freeze was to sign it, South Carolina, Tennessee immediately becomes submitted as fourth, and you got to ask yourself, after the way that your butt was handed to you this year at Neyland Stadium by Mark Stoops, if you're not automatically fifth in that conversation now in the SEC. You're no better than who? Eli Drinkwitz and whoever the next head football coach is going to be at Vanderbilt.
Yeah, no, so usually how this plays out is you go hire the guy anyway, right? Though it wasn't, you weren't ready to make a move, you go hire the guy to keep him from your opponent and to rival and to
because Georgia did it with South Carolina, like you just mentioned.
Absolutely. Bruce Pearl's at Auburn right now. So those things, this is usually how it works out. Tennessee's not usual. COVID's not usual. Tennessee's in not a great financial situation right now when it comes to the athletics department, when it comes to how much revenue that they've lost this year, still paying Butch Jones, you know what I mean? Just getting Derry Dooley off the book somewhat recently. So Tennessee's not in the normal spot. So the question is money or looking at it saying it's unfair to go ahead and fire Jeremy Pruitt now going to keep you good? Is he going to keep you from hiring Hugh Freeze at the end of the day? That's the big question that you have. Because clearly Freeze is trying to roll. I don't think this is a Tommy Tuberville where Freeze is just trying to get more money or other people to jump in the mix. I think Freeze wants the Tennessee job of the jobs that possibly could be available because it's frankly a better job than South Carolina's is. And if he has, and he's hoping to throw the trial balloon out there and see if Tennessee will make a move.
Do you believe Tennessee's in position to be able to be paying three coaches at one time? I mean, I know they've done it before. They've been doing it. They just got Dooley off the books, as you mentioned, paying Butch and paying Jeremy Pruitt. Do you believe they want to continue kind of this open checkbook process of paying coach after coach after coach? And at the same time, what kind of risk are you running bringing Hugh Freeze in?
Well, I think we all know. I hate to say it, but I feel like we know what this movie looks like. You're going to win a lot of games, and then the NCAA is going to come. Now, if you get to the point where you start paying players anyway in the next 3 years, who cares? That's one of the reasons why I've said it, you'd be an idiot to hire Lane Kiffin for years and years and years, and now I'm looking at it and say, no, it's probably the right move, because I think in 3 years we're paying players anyway, and they're going to be unionized. So maybe within five. So honestly, I don't know what could necessarily happen with Hugh Freeze that wouldn't happen with Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, and that probably won't become legal within the next few years. So I wouldn't have as big of a problem with that with Hugh Freeze. I hate what he did with Houston Nutt. If I was Greg Sankey, I would kick him out, keep him out of the SEC for a couple more years, but he's not going to, and if that's the case, it is what it is.
That's you, Will West, Tyler Ivan, 656-9900.
Hey, quick note here, Kainer does point this out on our secret text line. Butch Jones does come off the books in February. Thank you, Kainer. I thought it was another year.
February 21st.
Okay.
Look, Kainer, turn your mic on and chime in, brother. Look at you.
Hey, when you guys talk as much as you do, it's hard to get a word in, you know?
We don't shut up.
I'm just playing.
No, you're not, and you're right. So, completely fair and accurate.
You think you could stick around and love it or leave it with us?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it next. But first, Tennessee Lottery Sports Update, final segment of hour number one. More Hugh Freeze coming up at 7:45 with Adam Rittenberg at ESPN. It's all happening here this morning on the starting lineup. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
So no Tennessee Vanderbilt football this Saturday as originally scheduled in Nashville. This comes after the postponement of Arkansas and Missouri. Now Missouri will play Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt, Tennessee is a no-go. No schedule or no makeup date has been scheduled so far, but it'll likely come on December the 12th or the 19th. Tennessee will be off this weekend. No Tennessee men's basketball this week as the Charlotte and VCU Volunteer Classic games have been canceled after multiple positive COVID-19 tests have surfaced within the program, including one for head coach Rick Barnes. The Vols have paused all team-related activities at the moment. Tennessee's participation in next week's Jimmy V Classic has not been ruled out. No Lady Vols in Florida A&M on Friday, as Florida A&M has decided to cancel its season due to COVID-19 concerns. The Lady Vols still slated to play Western Kentucky at Thompson Bowling Arena Saturday at 2 o'clock, however. Monday Night Football, it was Jared Goff outdueling Tom Brady as the Rams outlasted the Bucs 27-24. Jared Goff, 3 touchdowns in the win. And Bengals rookie quarterback Joe Burrow has suffered a torn ACL, MCL, and suffered other structural issues after injuring himself against the Washington football team on Sunday. Burrow will be out for the remainder of the season, but is expected back in 2021. The Tennessee Lottery is proud to have raised more than $5.5 billion for education in Tennessee. 6:44, Pete Michaels traffic is coming up next. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
The starting lineup with Tyler and Will. 6 to 9 a.m. on 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Hello? I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had. All right, your Tuesday morning TSL continuing at 656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. We'll get back to the Tennessee Vanderbilt postponement coming up to kick off hour number two of the program. Also, a practice report, Adam Ritten, all coming up in the next 1 hour, so 60 minutes strong as we continue here on a Tuesday morning. Now, Love It or Leave It wraps up hour number one now on TSL.
When you break it all down, it comes to one simple question. Love it or leave it?
Love it or leave it.
All right, guys, Monday evening, the SEC announced that Saturday's Vanderbilt game would be postponed to a later date in December. Love it or leave it, the Vols will play all three of their remaining games.
I leave this. I think Tennessee gets two of those games in. Will, I don't know how they're going to do it, but depending on how the schedule goes, whether it's Florida on the 5th, you get Vandy on the 12th, and then you push A&M back to the 19th, I'm telling you, if they can find a way to have to keep from playing all these games, I know it's going to be difficult. Look, A&M's going to have to play that game, and A&M's going to do whatever it takes to make sure they get all their games in so they can try to impress the committee. But Tennessee Vanderbilt, what does that do? What does that do for anybody? I think they get two of the three games in, and I do not think this Vanderbilt game gets rescheduled.
Yeah, I agree with you. I leave this as well. I don't think they're going to get that Vanderbilt game in. I saw from Wolken yesterday, he tweeted that 1944, every single year since then, Tennessee and Vanderbilt have played since 1944. I think we're in danger of seeing that streak come to an end with this one. I think you're kind of tempting the gods, the football gods, a little bit when you do something like this. So I'll leave it. I think they get two of the three in, but I don't think that they get that Vandy game in.
Tonight, ESPN will release the first college football playoff rankings of the season, which will likely include Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State, and a fourth team. Love it or leave it, that fourth team will be Clemson.
I'm going to leave this. I think that it's going to be Texas A&M. Now, at the end of the season, it's going to be Clemson. But I think Texas A&M is going to be that fourth team right now, because if you look at where's a quality win at all for where's a quality win for Clemson right now. A&M lost to Alabama. They have beaten Florida. So because of that, I think A&M is going to be the fourth team right now.
I think they put Clemson in that position just so they have every reason to keep them in once Clemson beats Notre Dame. Now the question is then, does A&M become that fifth team, one of the first two out, so then they can maybe perhaps replace a Notre Dame or whomever that fourth team may be at the end of the year. But because it's Dabo, because it's Clemson, they're going to be in, and it makes them a lot easier to keep them in once that victory occurs. I think that fourth team is Clemson.
Many rumors are circulating throughout the SEC about coaches and job security heading into 2021. Love or leave it, there will be three new coaches in the conference beginning next season.
So that would mean that you were talking about Carolina, we're talking about Vanderbilt, and that there's going to be another program that's going to be looking for a job or looking for a new head coach. Could it be Tennessee? Could it be LSU? Could it be Auburn if they pull the trigger on Gus Malzahn? I'm going to say yes. I'm going to love this. I'm going to say that there is a third program along with South Carolina and alongside Vanderbilt. I don't know if it's going to be Tennessee, though, but I believe that there's going to be three openings next year when it's all said and done, so I'll love this.
Yeah, no, I love this as well. I'll play the percentages that somebody makes a move. I mean, Gus Malzahn's at $21 million right now, I think is what the buyout is. Tennessee, could they make a move with Jeremy Pruitt? And what maybe the odds on favorite? Look, whenever this comes, if this really is an independent investigation at LSU, this is going to blow up in Ed Ogeron's face.
Yeah.
So whenever that comes back, if it comes back before the beginning of next season, there will be a new head coach for LSU next year. It's just a matter of when, not if. And so the timing's more so what I'm concerned about, but I think the timing will be before the start of next year.
Early reports out of Cincinnati have quarterback Joe Burrow's rehab time to be 10 to 12 months on a torn ACL MCL. Love or leave it, if this time is accurate, the Bengals should hold Burrow out until 2022.
I leave this. I think that you play him. Now, you don't rush him back out there. I think that that could be foolish. But I do think that if he's able to go out there and play week 9, well, if you got Ryan Finley and he's out there just lighting it up like a Christmas tree, all right, we'll let the guy keep playing and he'll play Joe Burrow the next year. But that's probably not going to be the case with whoever is the quarterback at Cincinnati. So if you got to bring him back week 9, you bring him back week 9, it'll be fine.
That's probably not the case, but if I was running things in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow ain't seeing the football field till week 1, 2022. This guy is a franchise-altering quarterback. Everybody knows that, and he has shown the goods as a rookie in the NFL this year. You take no chances whatsoever until you see that this guy is strong, healthy, and he's back to the Bay Blue Ox style he was coming out of LSU last year. So, yeah, I'd actually let him know, take your time, because you're not starting till week 1, 22.
All right, last up, we're officially through week 11 of the NFL season. Love or leave it, undefeated Pittsburgh is the best team in the NFL at 10-0.
They're not, and I think everybody knows the reason why they're not. Impressive victory against Jacksonville over the weekend. It's still Kansas City. Even though Kansas City will is having a darn time knocking around or trying to shake their AFC West rival Las Vegas, look, everything that they bring to the table, Kansas City, I believe is just a step better than Pittsburgh. Running back, step better. Offensive line, better. Wide receiver weapons, better. Quarterback, better. Defensively, though, I'd give the edge to Pittsburgh, but in the world of the NFL where offense is constant fireworks, Kansas City's better than the Steelers. I leave this.
Yeah, I leave this as well. I do think it's Kansas City. I know that was a close call against the Raiders again this week. Sometimes teams just have your number. And look, I like Pittsburgh. They're playing awfully darn good football. But I think the Chiefs are the best team in the NFL.
More likely to happen, Will. Pittsburgh goes undefeated. The Jets go winless.
Oh, man. I will say the Jets go winless at this point. That was if you remember when we were arguing who which of us cheered for the worst team, that Charger game this past weekend was the one that I pointed to that said, no, the Giants aren't going to win a game, and the Jets are going to win this game against the Chargers in November. And it did. Justin Herbert's a lot better than I thought he was going to be, and it didn't happen. So also, you don't have Sam Darnold out there. So it's I think the Jets are going to go winless at this point.
They 100% are going to go winless. Will, it's coming up Friday, Black Friday. You're going to want to start cashing in on all the killer deals. Don't forget about Sharon and her staff in the Suburban Shopping Center. Woo! Fun had by all, shopping had by all. Check her out at New Balance Knoxville.
That's right, New Balance Knoxville Suburban Shopping Center. The perfect fit every single time at New Balance Knoxville with the fit test that they give you there. And at New Balance Knoxville, you'll love the styles, the colorways they have for fall, cold weather gear at New Balance Knoxville.
So Tennessee already has Texas A&M that they've got to get rescheduled for the 12th or the 19th. And now Vanderbilt, after yesterday's announcement that the Commodores Volunteers will not be playing this weekend. But here's the question. Do you believe the Vols and Vanderbilt will actually play this year? COVID, December. Will and I, we're on the same page. Likelihood of this happening? Slim. We'll explain to kick off hour number 2 of the program. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal.